Join in on the Funversation as Dr. Pam Peek and Michelle King-Robeson cut through the confusion and share the naked bottom line truth about all things woman. It's Her Radio.
Hey, you know something, Michelle? There are so many ways to take care of your nutrition and, you know, and really take care of yourself out there, but especially how you eat. And I'm a firm believer that there are a lot of resources that right. you could choose from, and a little bit of here, a little bit of there, and you customize a way to be able to take good care of yourself. And I think that here on Her Radio with you, it's just wonderful to be able to bring in guests who can help expand those resources and really enjoy the conversation with us as we say, what's new? And I understand our next guest, a little pal of yours. Tell us about it. Go ahead.
Oh, we love JJ Virgin. It's the Virgin Diet. And it's all about, are you eating the right things, right? It's this, so I'm so thrilled to have JJ with us today because two of my girlfriends, I'm going to give the plug first, two of my best friends, one has lost 35 pounds. The other has lost 20 pounds, and they look amazing, and they feel so good because they're following JJ's diet.
Well, JJ, why don't you do us a favor? Talk to us a little bit about what your book, The Virgin Diet, is all about. Just the bottom line. What's the twist here? Because there's a million diet books out there.
I know, aren't there? Well, I didn't want to call it a diet, but
no,
my publisher's like, but people, that's what they get. So you got to call it a diet because really it's not looking at your body that way. You know, in diets, we treat the body like it's a bank account. And we do the calories in, calories out thing, which we know does not work, right? I just saw that obesity rates went up another percentage point. So instead, I look at the body like a chemistry lab, and I look at food because, as we know, the first place you start to lose weight is by changing what you eat. We look at food and food intolerance as that real cause of weight gain, of cravings, of inflammation. And whether that's because of your what it's doing to your hormones or it's due to your immune system or due to genetics, there's multiple reasons we can become intolerant to a food. But there's what I discovered over the years where there were seven key foods that seemed to be the big troublemakers out there, and they're really more like food categories. And that when we used your own body as a chemistry lab and pulled those foods out for a short period of time, just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I mean, who can't do anything for 3 weeks, eliminated them, replaced them with easy swaps, and then tested one by one to see which really worked and which didn't, and customized, and you said this earlier, customized a diet that worked for you for the long haul, it was nearly miraculous what happened in a short amount of time. But more importantly, people felt so great and they were able to keep it off because they'd connected the dots between what they were eating and how they felt to really create a diet that worked for them, and they were empowered with that information.
Well, wait a minute. Now, what are these foods that you're talking about? What are the foods that you need to get rid of here?
And I bet you all would guess all of them.
So let's see now.
I know them. Yeah. I have them in my phone.
Do you think it has anything to do with sugar?
Oh, yeah, sugar. My next big book is sugar, because, like,
Dairy?
And artificial sweeteners I put as one category, although artificial sweeteners are just so wrong on so many levels that that's a whole other thing. But
there's one you recommend, right, JJ?
These are on the take them off, okay? So sugar and artificial sweeteners. And again, it's 3 weeks of taking them off. This is not for the rest of your life. We're going to see what works and what doesn't. But soy, corn, gluten, dairy, eggs, peanuts, and then sugar and artificial sweeteners.
Okay, why peanuts?
Peanuts, because it's interesting. So that was one of those severe allergenic, but we're finding now that people are becoming more and more allergenic and reactive to them because they're so ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. Also, in terms of foods, and I really struggled with peanuts, but I saw too many people reacting to them. And the bottom line is there's a lot better choices where you're not going to run the risk of accumulating aflatoxin mold. You know, peanuts are not a nut. They're a legume. So why not trade your peanut butter for almond butter? You know, and your peanuts for walnuts. So this was an easy swap for people. And they're one of the ones that once we get through the first cycle, if you let them, I still think keep them out 95% of the time because they're just, peanuts and peanut oil are just in everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's ubiquitous, but I must say I'm a triathlete, and I live on my peanut butter, and it's pretty good. The peanut butter that I use.
Come on, you don't like your almond butter?
Actually, almond butter's fine. I basically switch them out. You know, I really go between one and the other. But, you know, I was born and raised in my little, you know, marathon training and the rest of it to, you know, grab that little Wassa cracker, the multigrain cracker, slap a little peanut butter or almond butter on a piece of, you know, like a banana or something like that. But I want to go to the artificial sweetener place for a moment.
Ooh.
There's some really hot new research that has come down, which is really important, and that is we already knew that aspartame and most of that category are just plain toxic and ridiculous. If and you just run the opposite direction if you see any product with that. People thought for a long time that sucralose was going to be okay because it wasn't aspartame and it didn't seem to be associated with the same disease entities and problems. But as it turns out, very recently we've just found that sucralose or Splenda causes changes in insulin, the exactly the same thing that refined sugar does. In other words, it causes the same spikes in insulin, and therefore we've got a problem. And actually all of those artificial sweeteners do. But then there's a second piece, and this sort of goes hand in hand with what I wrote in my book The Hunger Fix about food and addiction, and that is the Splenda can ignite the reward center exactly the same level as a refined sugar. So basically, you can be just as addicted to your, as it were, diet sodas, which are absolutely, you know, filled with Splenda and back and forth, or aspartame for that matter, just as you can with something with sugar. So I think it's really important then to say, well, gosh, what can I use? I'm a real fan of stevia, you know, the herbal. How do you feel about that, JJ?
Well, and there's one other area that Splenda does that I think is really frightening, is what it does with your gut microbiota, which I'm just fascinated by gut bacteria, is that it feeds the bad bacteria in the gut. And then if you have an overgrowth of gut bacteria, tough one to say, you can extract more calories from the food that you eat and store them as fat. So, yes, any of these artificial sweeteners, which are so much sweeter than regular sugar, create even more calorie dysregulation, even more cravings. But you can't just tell people no sweet. You know, you got to taper them down off of it. And I think the great options are pure stevia, not processed. So pure organic stevia.
Of course.
Right? You got to say that because now you've got these processed stevia options.
Well, they
do it.
I mean, my gosh! Just when you get a good thing, they're
exactly.
Screwing it up again.
Like, stop
they're processing it.
Yes, monk fruit, and again, you got to watch that one because they're doing it to monk fruit too. But stevia, monk fruit, xylitol, and erythritol. Are some of the ones that I play around with. I think stevia of all of those is probably the best option out there, or monk fruit if you get the liquid. Both of those have that little bitter aftertaste. And xylitol, if you get it, has to be the xylitol from birch. So those are all options, but here's the thing with any of those. You still are going to create that phenomenon of calorie dysregulation where your body no longer can calibrate the degree of sweetness with the calories. So all of those should be used to first help you get off of the artificial sweeteners, which are worse than regular sweeteners, get off the regular sweeteners, and then taper down so that you start to resensitize your taste buds, reclaim your sweet tooth so that you can recognize the sweetness of a berry, you know, and it doesn't have to be this 100 times sweeter than normal berry. Right?
It's absolutely true. You can absolutely do that, and research has shown you can alter taste that way. You know, JJ, you have just been wonderful in helping us enlighten women out there about other choices and resources as they customize their nutrition. JJ Virgin is one of the nation's foremost fitness and nutrition experts, and you can find more about her at her website, jjvirgin.com, and her book, The Virgin Diet. Thank you so much, JJ.
Thank you.
Thanks, JJ. So no peanuts, corn, dairy, soy milk, sugar, gluten, and eggs. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King Robson with Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. Stay well.